ago, Phil Henry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, tonight and every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this here show. And I would like to mention to you that we are online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, because that is the way to watch as well as listen, as well as access thousands of hours, 5,000 hours of audio, as well as access shows that go back over a decade, as well as access a radio show that many, including ourselves, consider to be pretty damn good. In fact, today at the offices of LEG Molotov, which is one of the great entertainment management companies in America, and we were over there on the west side of Los Angeles, I thought I'd do a little bit of a, it's almost a Howard Cosell.
Well, yes, the way you're building that up, it sounds either Howard Cosell or it like Jim McKay, something sports.
Right, so I saw today on the west side of Los Angeles at the offices of LEG Molotov, one of the great entertainment companies in America, we were there and we were doing the Bobby Dooley podcast with Jay Moore. Jay is a longtime stand-up comic actor, the host of his own sports show now, I believe, with the Fox Sports Network, and a guy who is really riding high in the podcast world as well. More Stories, which is Jay's particular podcast, I think is consistently there in the top 10 of downloaded podcasts at iTunes and elsewhere. And we had Jay in. Bobby Dooley was interviewing him today for her, the Bobby Dooley podcast. I got to tell you.
Now, how did that go? I know I saw part of you in the pre-show. You were quite happy with it.
It was fantastic. Jay is a guy that loves comedy so much that when I was driving home, after we got done with the podcast, I was driving home, he calls me up on my phone, and we start talking comedy. In other words, when I'm done working, I'm done. I don't want to talk about it, look at it, feel it, be around it. You know.
Yeah, but he's professional.
Yes, he has more of a professional interest.
Well, it's not that I don't have a professional interest, okay?
Yeah, but you didn't want to talk.
No, I did. You're right. You guys are right, okay? I mean, if you're gearing up to rip into me, all right.
We're not gearing up to rip into you, Phil. We're just pointing out the differences between a very successful man like Jay Moore, who wants to talk about comedy, who wants to dissect and to critique, you know, and sit down in a coffee shop and talk about these things, and you just want to race home and get into bed.
Yeah.
Race home and get into bed. Yeah. Sure.
Well, don't you? I mean...
No, I don't want to race home and get into bed. I just want to race home. But in any event, what I'm trying to say is that he said, Phil, you know, and this was something that I said to the pre-show audience, and I'll say it to the radio audience, and it has to do with humility, which I think is one of the great lessons in life that I have to learn, and I think everybody should, to be honest with you. I think everybody, no matter who you are, could use a healthy dose of humility. But be that as it may, I guess that wasn't very humble of me, though.
Yeah, you gotta point it out to people.
Yeah, I shouldn't point out the fact that you aren't humble, you know, that I've got something to say to you. In any event, he says to me, he says, you know what, man, every day I've got something to learn, you know, when I think of comedy and when I think of different things that I've done. And today, he said, I climbed up another rung on the comedy ladder doing that podcast with you. And I had a great time. And he said, and I the improv was fantastic and it was very challenging. And he was absolutely enthusiastic. This is long after we'd gotten done doing it. So I thought, boy, there's a guy, he's all this success, and yet he's, you know, on the phone talking to me, you know, and my podcast, and he's on his way to the airport, he's going to get on the plane, you know.
You said he was going to go see his sons.
Yeah, he was on his way to the airport, he's going to Burbank to get on a plane to go see his sons, to see his two sons. But you know, taking the time to say, wow, there's something I learned professionally and a great experience I had, and I'm going to take the time and I'm going to call Phil up and tell him that. And you know, for me, man, that's gold, and I really appreciated that, and you're going to love it. The Bobby Dooley interview with Jay Moore will probably drop, as we say, in the podcast world.
Yeah, we know already, man. Yeah, you're always talking about that.
Well, just because you idiots don't, you know, you pay attention to that, a lot of people don't know what that means.
Yeah, so just let me say the words, the big professional words.
I'm talking about it dropping. We're just saying we're going to get some people calling.
You're not going to get any people calling thinking I'm talking about going to the bathroom. You guys have already tried that one on me. It doesn't work, okay?
Oh, God.
Right. So in any event, it drops next week, the Jay Mohr interview with Bobby Dooley, and it is a part of the Bobby Dooley podcast. Hope you enjoy it, too. And also, we have our regular podcast, which is the Phil Hendry podcast, episode 136. I thought it was going to be out today. We're going to start them back up again. We kind of took a two-day break because I felt like taking a break. What do you want me to say? But you can get all of those shows at philhendryshow.com. Check us out right now. We're doing our podcast. We're doing our video cast. We have our news feed. We have our pre-show, which gets kind of raucous. As a matter of fact,
well, you started out this evening really upset.
Yeah, and I know, and I've got, who do we have? Is David going to call here in just a second so I can get some of this stuff straightened out with him or who?
Not really, I don't.
All right, well, I got in here and I'm looking at a computer. Never mind, I don't want to bug people. Here is something that I thought you'd find fascinating, something that I believe will sort of either pick your night up or drop it right down a hole, something that may or may not be something you enjoy, or perhaps it could be something that sends you over the edge into a depression you will never retrieve yourself from. And it is the following.
Good God.
Take it easy. Long Island man issued summons for laughing too loud in his own home. From the New York Post, there's no pursuit of happiness for this Long Island man. Local cops busted him for laughing too loudly in his own home. Now, this is a game that I like to play. Do you think this is really about the guy laughing too loudly?
No, I think it's probably about him. Oh, here, I'll do it. I'm going to do it, man.
Don't fight over it.
Yeah, but he can't find a word.
I think it's about him just being too loud.
All right. What do you think, Robert?
I think it's about him being too loud with a dirty joke or something. Yeah, I was going to say he said a dirty word.
All right, so in other words, what we're saying here, folks, is that they hook you with the headline, Long Island man issued summons for laughing too loud in his home. You know as well as I do that's not what the story's about. That's simply the headline that they put up on top of the story to get you to read it. And when you finally do read it, you go, oh, well, the guy, there's no, but I don't know. Maybe it actually is an ordinance that he violated. He laughed too loud. Robert Schiavelli, age 42, was recently slapped with two absurd summonses because his next-door neighbor complained that he could hear his hearty guffaws from across the driveway. I didn't know it was a crime to laugh out of a window, said Schiavelli, who is considered disabled because he has frequent seizures and suffers from neurological impairments. Schiavelli was chortling because he says his neighbor often taunts him due to his disability and his best defense is to laugh him off. Aha!
Oh, I see. So this is a disturbing the peace thing.
Wait, his neighbor, he's laughing at his neighbor?
Well, no, just listen. His neighbor taunts him, so he laughs this guy's stuff off. He laughs the taunts off. That's what he's saying. A detective responded to the Rockville Center neighbor's complaints and wrote up two tickets for, here you go, disturbing the peace. So you're right, Margaret.
No, I said the same thing.
All right, well, you guys were all basically right. Each summons carries a $250 fine for 15 days in jail, or 15 days in jail. It's absurd, lawyer Andrew Campanelli said. My client faces 30 days in jail for laughing. Schiavelli, who lives with his mother, was charged with acting in such a manner as to annoy, disturb, interfere with, obstruct, or be offensive to others. The last time I checked, it was not a crime to laugh, except in Rockville Center, said the attorney Campanelli. And Mr. Campanelli probably, kept on milking that quote because he realized he was talking to the New York Post.
All right. Good one, Mr. Schiavelli.
Nice move there, Mr. Attorney, sir. What time have we got? All right. At Schiavelli's arraignment yesterday, local judge William Croutier said he was not so inclined to dismiss the charges. When the judge asked why police were called, Campanelli said, "My client is a bit of a gentle giant. The way he responds to his neighbors is to laugh. I will never let him take a plea on this," a fuming Campanelli added after court. A return date has not yet been set. So the judge said, oh, then wait a second.
Well, what was the judge saying? He was saying that the man was overdoing it?
Yeah, the judge is saying the following thing. That guy was laughing in an obnoxious manner, meaning it wasn't a real laugh. He was just going, ha, 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 like that. Probably out the... That must have been a pretty funny scene. So the guy's... Yeah, and whoever this guy is that's taunting him for his disabilities, I'd like to get the whole story on that.
Dad, see, that's not very good.
Yeah, but you don't know that that's the truth. You don't get, with all of the information and all of the communication we have these days, are you getting the truth? Probably not, So what is this story about the guy being taunted for his disabilities? Is that true? Or not? Now, the guy, the judge we know, said, no, I'm not going to dismiss. Why is that? Because, obviously, this is not just laughter. This is disturbing the peace. So the guy was probably doing something along the lines of, you know, maybe the dude said, boy, your seizures, they remind me of something out of The Exorcist. Oh, yeah, ha, 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 really funny. Ha, 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 Bill, you going to say anything else? Ha, ha, ha.
Well, my God, then I would definitely call the... Yeah.
Call the police. That's disturbing the peace.
Yeah, the guy's going, ha, 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 ha. You know.
Yeah, we know.
Please don't do that, Bud, because this is it's very early in the show for me to commit the kind of violent act.
Never mind. All right, we're going to be right back. The number 877-876-PHIL. David G. Hall is going to be joining us here in just a moment on some of the technical aspects of our radio show that we'll let you eavesdrop in on, some of the mal or misfeasance, some of just the day-to-day that we're having problems with. We'll be talking to David and talk to him about our podcast. Bobby Dooley later on to talk about Jay Moore, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we have an unusual phone call. Not that we're talking to anyone unusual. David G. Hall is our vice president of syndication here on the Phil Hendry Show, but we are going to be talking to him from literally DC-3, where he is right now, flying to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and I believe there's someplace over Oceanside, California. David, are you there?
Yeah, Phil, we are definitely. You might say this is a very high flying. Way to go. When I say high-flying, we're not more than a couple of thousand feet above the California coast, aboard a DC-3, which is a small airline that is a part of an investment that Tabitha, you know, my fiancé, her father is a part owner in this particular air service. But I'm loath to mention the name of the airline because I don't want people to think that this is a commercial announcement, but I think that they've been kicking around names like Goldwing, Tabitha, you know a little bit more about it than me. She's a little shy. I don't want to talk to her, but I think Goldwing is what they have been talking about, and they will start service, I think, in June.
Well, what? Tell me, what is this airline? So it's a small prop job It's a small prop job, or?
Well, it's not just a prop job. It's a DC-3. It's one of the original airliners. When I say airliner, certainly it's not as big as the modern day jets, but it was one of the original aircraft that carried people from, you know, from point A to point B, wherever it might be, and did it in a relative luxury. Now, the interesting thing about this DC-3 is that there is front wheels underneath the wings, as I was just talking to the captain, but there's none to the rear of the aircraft. So literally, Phil, we had to all sit up front as they were taking off.
You're kidding.
No. We had to sit up front as they were taking off so that the weight would be distributed evenly. And then as they took off and they were airborne, then we all moved back in the back of the aircraft. And I said to Tabitha, you know, you tell your dad. That was at least one sort of hairy moment, but... So
Tabitha's father is investing in this airline?
No, Tabitha's father is the owner of this airline, and what they're going to do is inaugurate service from the area airports in the Los Angeles area, for instance, Oxnard, up near where you live, Phil, Camarillo, Palm Springs, and they will inaugurate service between those points and some of the resort areas in Mexico, such as Puerto Vallarta, such as Ensenada, and so forth. So we think it's a very exciting. We're having a great time.
And you said you're not that far above the ground.
Well, we're not. I don't think we're more than maybe 10,000 feet. I'd have to ask the pilot who we were talking to just before we took off. Milton, right? Bill Milton. When I get up, maybe I go up front here. Can I go up and talk to him in a few minutes, Phil? But. It is exciting, and it's part of this new Goldwing Air Express that will be starting in June. You know, we'd like you... I said that this is not a commercial announcement, and it is not a commercial announcement. We would certainly appreciate very much if you'd, you know, talk about it a little bit on the show.
Well, wait, if it's not a commercial announcement, are they paying? Well, I guess I shouldn't ask.
No, I would appreciate if you would not ask, because, you know, we like to let the audience in on things, but not that much. And I think you might have given the audience the idea that you're being forced to talk about it.
Well, am I?
Well, and that's also an unfortunate comment. So Tabitha's looking at me. She's rolling her eyes like, what kind of, well.
She's rolling her eyes like what?
It's nothing, Phil. Don't worry about it. She gave me a look and rolled her eyeballs like, but it's nothing. No,
David, you know, I just, if you don't mind, what does she mean by the rolled eye? You know, I've, this young lady that you've been dating, God bless you. I think she's, you know, if it makes you happy.
Hold on for just a minute, because I told you about the, well, you see, if it makes me happy.
If she makes you happy.
All right.
What I meant was, if it, in what I meant by it was the experience, okay?
Right, but there's people in this experience, Phil. When you say, if it makes me happy, see, she's rolling her eyeballs again. Don't do that, honey. See ya.
All right, but let me just, I want to jump in here. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
This young lady that you're going out with, this is not the first time that you said to me that she's rolling her eyeballs when I say something. Now, I don't know, you know, she's not here listening on the radio, is she?
No, we're in a DC-3 over the coast of California. There's no radio up here. There's no radio reception we're going to get. No, I'm just, she knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay, so when she's rolling her eyeballs, she's basically saying what?
Well, I think you probably can imagine. Now, you got an audience there. I wanted to get into the mechanical failings there that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, but I didn't want to talk about it on the other. That's something else. I didn't want to talk about it on the air. Bud tells me that you wanted to call in and discuss this.
Yeah, I did, because I want people to see for themselves what I have to deal with and why. If you say she's rolling her eyeballs, why do you suppose she's rolling her eyeballs?
No, I'm asking you why she's rolling her eyeballs, okay?
I don't. Only you know the answer, Phil.
No, this is not about me having the answer to why your girlfriend...
And she is my fiancée, if you don't mind.
All right.
She's my fiancée, if you don't mind.
All right, why your fiancée? I don't know why she's rolling her eyeballs.
Three guesses, what is it? Yep, Tabitha just said three guesses and the first two don't count. You know.
Oh, did she say that? Well, that's an original line.
What is it you got a problem with... You know, I know you don't have a problem with women. And
no, I don't have a problem with women.
You have a problem with me dating a very young woman.
Nope, I don't even have a problem with that.
Well, it sounds like it.
No, what I got a problem with is every time I say something having to do with the business, having to do with things, you know, I don't even know why she rolled her eyes. She's always rolling her eyes. You're always telling me, hey, Tabitha just rolled her eyeballs. Like, in other words, like I'm some kind of a dumbass.
No, I didn't. I've never said that you're a dumbass.
No, you don't have to, David. You don't have to say I'm a dumbass, because all you got to say is she rolled her eyeballs. Yeah, Margaret.
David, this is Margaret. Why is this young woman even a factor in the conversation you're having?
Yeah, that's a good point. She's not even to be the factor.
Oh, look at Bud just learned a new word. That's great.
Well, it's a good question.
What is?
Why are we even talking about her?
Because you brought it up.
No. Excuse me, David, no, you're the one that brought up, Tabitha just rolled her eyeballs.
Yeah, because Phil was talking, he was talking about stuff that makes a woman of 21 years of age roll her eyes, and...
Well, now, what would that be? Where the sun comes up in the morning?
Well, you know, she's rolling her eyeballs again. You're saying stuff here that...
How does she know what I just said?
Because she can hear it. I don't have the speakerphone on, but I might as well, because I do have the speakerphone on, but I've got it pressed up against my ear. Okay?
So in other words, you have the speakerphone on?
No, I do not. Yes, I do, but I've got it pressed. I'm jamming it into my ear so she can't hear.
Why do you have the speakerphone on?
Because I can hear better that way.
You know what? I think you got the speakerphone on so the whole aircraft can hear what's going on.
No, not the whole aircraft, no. I want to talk with you about the mechanical failings in the studio and all of these things you complain about. And I'm taking time out of a very enjoyable trip we're taking down to Puerto Vallarta tonight, because you wanted to talk about this, and I want the audience to hear some of this stuff, because I love you, Phil. I think you're talented, but I think Tabitha said, I gotta say it, you're a crybaby.
Did Tabitha say that? I'm so glad that you have Tabitha with you. You know, I really am.
Oh, Philip, you know, sarcasm does not become you, okay? What is it, honey? Yeah, she said you're a big, fat crybaby.
Okay,
put him on hold.
Yeah, is that what I did? But what is it with everybody tonight? You put him on hold. Next time you're going to be telling me, hey, Phil, you just breathed. Do you know that you're breathing? Yes, I do. Thank you.
Well, Phil, I think we're all trying to defend you here.
I appreciate that, but it's still irritating to me. We'll be right back with David G. Hall and talk about, all kinds of things, including his girlfriend, his fiancée, Tabitha, who's rolling her eyeballs at everything that I'm saying. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, look at that. There's Catalina, and there's, see, that's San Diego down there.
Phil Henry.
Well, how do I know? All right.
Here it is, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall is on the line with us. He's going to be joining us back in just a moment. I think we have to reestablish some communication with them. You understand that it's kind of difficult because what you've got is essentially an aircraft that is relaying a phone signal. It's actually a radio telephone from what my understanding is.
Well, I know. I remember when Frank... A long time ago, Frank used to have a radio telephone, some sort of phone like that in the car that he used. And I remember it was very difficult to speak with him on it. But it was in those days, it was the only thing they had.
Yeah, they didn't have cell phones back per se in those days. And so, you know, you had that sort of problem. Bud, how are we doing?
Yeah, I'm trying to establish a communication. Yeah, hold on for a minute. Yeah. Roger Wilco is a plane.
What are you doing, man?
Using airplane talk. Yeah, he's using airplane talk.
What do you mean airplane talk?
Airplane talk? What, just tell the guy that we are the radio station that was talking to David G. Hall, and he's the guy that we're talking to, and, you know, we're...
Roger. Roger. Wilco and out.
Okay, so what was that?
That's what I said to him.
Well, what did he say to you, man?
Oh, I forget. Hold on. Yeah, hello? Yeah, Roger, can we...
Give me that, will you? Yeah, hi, it's Phil Henry. I was just talking to David G. Hall. He's my vice president of syndication. He's aboard an aircraft, I believe, that is traveling south. It's a DC-3. He wants to talk to you, bud.
Yeah, see, he wants to talk airplane talk.
Get out of here with airplane.
Okay, Bravo, Yankee Bravo, and everything, and... Right, it's an airplane that's traveling south, and there's some people. It's a DC-3. I don't know. Maybe, but I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay, I'll call you back.
So what did he say?
He didn't know.
Will you give me that phone, man? Look at Margaret, can you place this call?
I happen to be on the air. I'm a co-host on the panel. I'm on a panel. I don't make phone... Who do you think you're...
Robert.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, hi.
Can you guys go in the other room and do that, please? I don't know what happened, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. I had this bloody thing, and then all of a sudden, we lost the connection. So we're going to have to just wing it here for just a couple of minutes. David G. Hall, aboard a DC-3, and this is an aircraft that is traveling, as I mentioned to you, traveling to the south... and it's on its way to what I think is a landing there in Puerto Vallarta and in Mexico, which all sounds very nice. But the problem being, we've lost connection with this. And you can well imagine that the difficulty in maintaining connection with an aircraft in the air. I didn't even think we were going to be able to do this in the first place, but we were able to, and so it goes. Meantime, our number 877-876-PHIL, 7445 as we talk here with you and with David about some of these equipment malfunctions that we have. Do we have the aircraft?
Not yet. They're trying to hold on for a minute. Do you know where it is? They said they've lost it off the radar.
Get out of here. Don't start talking to me like that, okay?
Well, I don't know.
Let me have the phone. Hi. It's Phil Henry. It's a DC-3 flying to Mexico. You lost it off the radar. But now you've got it back? What does that mean, now you got it back? Now it's gone again. I think there's something wrong with your radar, man. Do you think? I said there's something wrong with your radar, don't you think? There's something wrong with your radar. The radar on your air, on your, I don't know. I'm on the air. Thank you. Yeah, just talk to this jackass, will you?
Yeah. Oh, you heard that? He heard you call him a jackass, Phil.
Don't give a crap. Who do we got here? 877-876-PHIL. Art Griego joining us from the Santa Monica Airport right now. Art, have you been listening to any of this?
I have, Phil, and it sounds to me like you just had a kind of a rusty connection there. And these DC-3s, you know, who knows what kind of radio equipment they have. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Well, I mean, if the aircraft is off the radar.
Well, if it's off the radar, it can mean one of a couple of things. It can mean that they're experiencing some sort of communication problem having to do with weather. It could mean that they're experiencing a communication problem having to do with the equipment on board. It's very unlikely, but it could mean that the aircraft is experiencing a malfunction other than that.
What do you mean a malfunction other than that?
Well, I'm not talking about anything serious, Phil. I'm just saying that there is a larger malfunction that may have occurred with the entire aircraft.
Well, I mean, are you talking about it crashing?
No, I am not. No, I am not talking about it crashing. I understand that your friends and colleagues are on that aircraft, and I would not even... I'm not going to joke about something like that. If I felt that that was the case, I would tell you. But no, I don't think there's any chance that that's the case. I think that because I know these DC-3s, they're very good aircraft. There's no bad weather out there tonight. The coast of California is relatively clear. I know there's some cloud cover, but it's nothing there. But there might have been some larger malfunction having to do with the aircraft. And
well, what could it be if it's not the radio equipment? If it's not the as you said, if it's not some something having to do with weather, for instance, then what could it be?
Well, I'm just saying it could be something as a failure that makes it it's difficult to communicate right now.
For example?
Well, it could be anything. If the aircraft is not maintaining its altitude,
so it's going to a lower altitude.
Yes, it's going to an altitude where the communication becomes impossible. And
what altitude is that?
When communication becomes impossible?
Yeah, what altitude would the plane be at when the communication... I've never heard of a radio.
Well, this is aircraft radio, so when the aircraft is communicating properly, the aircraft is generally at a level, an altitude.
Unless it's on the ground.
Yes, unless it's on the ground. In this case, the aircraft has not maintained... might not have maintained altitude. And it could be on the ground, but it is not intact to the point where the radio...
What are you talking about, man?
Oh, my God. Are you talking about the plane crashing?
No, I am not.
Well, what do you mean it's not intact?
I'm saying if the aircraft is not maintaining altitude and you said it was on the ground, then and it's not... the radio isn't working, then the plane is in... there's a lot of... it's not... no longer... joined together, you see?
It's no longer joined together, meaning the plane has crashed and there's pieces of it laying all over the place.
That's not necessarily a crash. Now, you take, for instance, 1940...
Would you get me somebody on the phone I can talk to, okay?
That's a guy. He's an aviation guy.
And he's a drunk, too. Art Griego is a notorious alcoholic. You didn't know that, huh?
No, I didn't know that at all.
He's probably out there right now sitting and just having himself a good time. Sometimes the radio fails if it's on the ground and the plane isn't in one piece.
Well, that sounds like a crash.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did they have this guy back or what?
Yeah, we got him. You got radar? Okay, they got radar. You got radar, but the plane that you're looking at ain't our plane?
Oh, man, I'm going to kill somebody.
Now, Mr. Henry just wants to make sure that... okay. I think they probably will get us a satellite. And if they have a satellite, then they'll be able to find out where the plane is. Okay, right there.
What is that?
That's a satellite.
What satellite?
It's a recording of a satellite that I found.
Get that out of here. I'm not looking for a recording of a satellite. I want the real thing. He's not in a satellite. He's in an airplane. Hello. Good Lord. 877-876-PHIL. So while we try to track where the people...
Yeah, that's the baby alert.
Oh, I forgot to tell you about the baby alarm. This is something, Phil...
hold on, what do you mean the baby alarm?
This is something, excuse me, that Tabitha, David's girlfriend, had suggested. I'm not saying we're going to do it.
She suggested what?
Every time when you start to complain about everything, and we'll just... Yeah.
Well, guess what? No, you're not going to do that, okay?
Well, I know, Tabitha, you know...
Oh, I don't give a damn what Tabitha said. Boy, that's the wrong name. You should have said David. Maybe I'd give it some consideration. If I had David on the phone, I would give it some consideration. Tabitha, though, to have that woman tell me about...
Yeah, listen. Yeah, it's another baby alert.
Look, don't play any more baby alerts, all right?
Well, it's what Tabitha thought was best. You see, so...
Margaret, I don't care what Tabitha thought. Do you understand?
I understand. Would you allow me to finish?
Go ahead.
Tabitha felt that when you begin to go off on people, when you're talking about the equipment, when you're talking about things that are irrelevant, that we hit baby one. If it gets any worse, then naturally we allow baby one to go into baby. This is baby two. Bud. Yeah, there you go. So that gives us...
I'm going to take that and I'm going to put a fire axe through it. You understand?
So I take it you don't want us to use that.
You take it right, okay?
You talk about humiliating, and I don't understand, Mr. Henry. I've always looked up to you. Now you can't be humble enough to know when you're going baby.
You gotta have the humility to know when you're going baby on somebody, don't you?
I gotta have the humility to know that I'm going baby, huh?
Well, Phil, you were talking about it, and you were talking a real good game before the show started about, oh, ladies and gentlemen... You know, ladies and gentlemen...
All right, okay.
No, go ahead, Margaret.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Phil Henry, and you know that I've learned my humility...
All right, okay. I get it.
No, let her go.
You know that I've learned my humility, ladies and gentlemen, and it's very, very important, ladies and gentlemen, to be humble. That's exactly what you sounded like a Kansas City fairy. And
oh, that's real nice of you.
Baby, too.
We're going to be right back. We're going to find David G. Hall. He's either in an airplane, he's either on the ground. I'm sure. I'm not crying about anything.
I don't know. Yeah, sound like you're going to launch in a baby.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Just
truth
because you talk quietly doesn't
bitch
mean you haven't
the
gone
Phil
baby
Henry Show.
Gone baby.
Right,
David G. Hall is back. We had a scare, you have to understand, you know?
No, I understand, but I got was from the pilot who said that you were having some kind of a temper tantrum, and I understand that Margaret introduced you to what I had hoped and what I still hope will be used on the program, Phil.
No, this baby alarm is the height of humiliation. You know, you guys have introduced all kinds of things, flatlining if the show gets boring, all kinds of things to be humiliating about, and now I got to deal with a baby alarm.
Well, you're dealing with a baby alarm, Phil, because you have been in that studio, and again, I think when you talk about Tabitha rolling her eyeballs, let's go and talk a little bit about you crying about the equipment to the point I'm not there, I can't change everything. So if you go, baby, and that's the code, then Bud has the authority to... Bud?
Yeah, do it now.
Yeah, right there. Okay, so that is go, baby, one. I think they did three levels. I'm not sure.
Did they do three levels? And that's very scientific. That's fantastic. Just like the FAA, man. That's great. It's almost like a collision alarm on that plane you're on.
All right, now just keep your mouth shut about that, okay?
Oh, why should I do that? What do you want? You know, I want to let you know, man. I want to let you know that there are alarms for all kinds of things. And, oh, wait a minute. It's a DC-3. It was built a long time ago. Maybe they don't have a collision alarm on those. Did you think about that?
Okay, Tabitha is... you are upsetting Tabitha now. Can we get a napkin? You're upsetting my fiancée right now.
Well, I don't mean to upset her, but she's rolling her eyeballs every time I say something that I want to do on this radio show, okay? Every time I say something about the equipment, every time...
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's a baby, too. Can we get a napkin? Because she's... You have upset this young lady who is traveling to Mexico with me. And she's missing work to do this, by the way. And
there's another very difficult thing for her to put up with. Going to Mexico, going to Puerto Vallarta, and missing work. You know?
Well, this is not going to interest you because what she's doing right now...
Rolling her eyeballs?
Yeah, no, she's not rolling her eyeballs. She, because of you saying collision alarm, she has had a situation. I said I needed a napkin. I think we're going to need more than one napkin now because you're taking time.
What'd she do, wet her pants?
You know, I gotta tell you, Phil, of all the classless things that you would say...
Well, I don't know. What did she do?
Yes, she urinated, but I didn't expect you to come right out and say that. So that is... In other words, what we're talking about here... Thank you, bud.
No, it's you. Baby alarm for you.
The baby alarm doesn't apply for me. The baby alarm doesn't apply for me. Can we get another napkin? I've got a young lady here who's very sensitive to the things that are being done to my career because what affects me affects her. When you give me a hard time, when you say you don't want to talk about things, when Bud does the baby alarm and it's meant for me, then because she's in an aircraft that's a DC-3 and does not have all of the modern safety measures, let's say, that other aircraft have, it all winds up a puddle at her feet. Let's just put it that way. Let me put it as bodily as I can. All of the tension, all of the excitement, all of the fears, it's just one, it's a puddle. All right? Now, that's what you guys have done tonight. You know something? I wish, you know what? I really do wish this plane would crash if you guys were on it instead of me. Haul out. And I told him.
Shh, don't say anything.
Can we get a napkin over here? Yeah, she went again. I'm trying to keep it off the air.
Don't say anything.
Well, Phil, you're embarrassing him.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, I told him off, baby. Don't worry about it. Big mouth radio host.
Now,
don't worry about it, baby. When we get to Puerto Vallarta, my understanding is there'll be a hotel car waiting for us, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Boy, that ass, Henry. He really takes the cake, doesn't he?
I can't
fire him. He's actually technically my boss.
Did you hear that?
Hmm. Hey, wait a minute. The phone isn't hung up, you whore. I told you to press the button.
Oh, did you hear that one?
Who was he talking to?
Probably talking to Tabitha and everything.
He was talking to his girlfriend, his fiance.
I think he was talking to a flight attendant.
A flight attendant, huh? Hey, by the way, I've been on a DC-3. I've been on a DC-3.
You have?
Yes. I was on a DC-3 in Miami. I flew it down to Key West, and I'll tell you this. If they have a flight attendant, they got one, all right? And a flight attendant on a DC-3, yeah, they can serve coffee, and they can bring you maybe a soft drink, but they're not walking up and down the aisle like they do in regular aircraft today, you know, because it's small, and there's turbulence, and...
But what do you mean, turbulence?
Turbulence, dude. You know, they're flying at like 10,000 feet. They're not up above the clouds, okay? They're not way up where you can fly above the weather. So...
Well, I still think... Are you telling me...
I'm telling you that he just called her a whore, just like Don Berman called all those horses.
Well, who cares about a horse? That's not a real lady.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, very good point. You guys are really... You're knocking it out of the park tonight with stating the obvious. I know, okay? I know a horse is not a woman. I'm just saying... Just saying. That's what everybody says now, huh? They're all saying just saying?
Yes, but you were all over Facebook one weekend saying, oh, would you please stop saying just saying? It's really driving me crazy.
Why are you making fun of that?
Phil, I think you have to just get into the colloquial man. Get into the things that the average man enjoys. Speak his language. Don't talk down to him. That's what you're doing.
I'm talking down to... Am I talking down to people, bud?
Sort of.
How do I talk down to people?
Like Ms. Gray was saying, on account of when you went on to Facebook and people were saying just saying and you were yelling at them.
I wasn't yelling at them.
Yeah, well, I remember the time you saying, hey, you know, you didn't call him retard or anything. You saying, don't talk like a dumbass.
Yes, that's a word you like to use, dumbass. I think you should just enjoy the way the average... If he says just saying, then go ahead and use the phrase yourself. They'll think you're one of them. Oh, look at you. That's rather distasteful, isn't it?
No, it's not distasteful. No. I mean, I've just never been a guy that... When something gets overused, it starts to grate on my nerves. Maybe it's, you know...
Yeah, that's a personality failing you have, Mr. Henry.
Oh, thanks a lot, Doc. God. Baylor student dies after accident at dance rehearsal. Officials say a Baylor University freshman... What?
Well, are you all done with David?
Yes, I'm done with David. He hung up on me, remember? Officials say a Baylor... I remember his closing line? I wish this plane would crash if you guys were on it.
Oh, you think that's funny?
Yeah, I think it's hysterical. Officials say a Baylor University freshman died after suffering a serious injury while attempting a backflip at a dance rehearsal. Oh, Lord. Authorities characterized the incident as a tragic accident, identified the deceased student as 18-year-old Kevin Signo, a pre-biology student from San Francisco. Signal, well, it says here Frisco, and I'm not going to make a big deal out of that. Is there such a town as Frisco, or are they talking about San Francisco?
I think it's probably Frisco.
Yeah, Frisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay, then why don't they say San Francisco?
Well, they are San Frisco.
I don't think you should do that in a news story. Anyway, Signal was at Mars McLean Gym, and Frisco is in Texas. That's not San Francisco.
Oh.
Signal was at Mars McLean Gym on the Baylor University campus Saturday evening for a meeting with the university's Filipino Student Association, of which he was an active member. The group was practicing traditional Filipino dance. During a break from the rehearsal, Signo attempted a backflip. Justice of the peace, W.H. Pete Peterson, said Signo landed on his forehead, this poor kid, causing a fatal spinal injury. He was taken by ambulance to Hillcrest Baptist Medical Center. Boy, that's rough, man. See, it just goes to show you, unless everything in life, you never know. You never know. And those among us who take the chances in this world, who try that extra little physical, emotional, mental gymnastic, sometimes pay the ultimate price just to see how far they can go. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.